Today, on the second Sunday after Christmas Day, we hear about the faithful action of Joseph, the human father of Jesus. There's not a lot of information about Joseph in Scripture. He says not one word. Apparently, Joseph is the icon of men referred to as the strong, silent type. Even speechless, Joseph's importance should not be undervalued. Today we hear the story as evidence of his deep faith and trust in God's direct involvement in his life and in the life of his family. To say that the last year had been not so smooth time for Joseph would be a great understatement. His wife-to-be announced one day that she is pregnant, which put Joseph in a very awkward place until he was visited in a dream by God, by an angel who assured him that all would be well and that this was all part of God's plan. Thankfully, Joseph was a man of deep faith and trust in God. He did not abandon Mary, but stayed with her and planned to raise that child as his own. If he had plans of settling down comfortably with his new little family, once the dust settled and the angels and shepherds returned to their respective habitations, his life would not go according to plan. In some time frame, which is much debated, three wise men or kings or astronomers arrive on the scene. And while many scenes depict the three camel riders alone and quietly making their way through the desert toward the city, the odds are that the entourage was much more like an approaching circus, that merely three lone dignitaries would not be traveling that way. Kings or other affluent individuals never traveled alone. They would be unwise or unsafe at best. Not only would they have bodyguards of sorts, they would have had servants along as well. Their presence would not have gone unnoticed, even in the crowded streets of Jerusalem, even if they hadn't stopped to inquire about the location of the new king. Three visiting dignitaries would have stirred the attention of the paranoid Herod, no matter what. But when they mentioned a newly born king, one who would threaten Herod's security, he decided not to take any chances at all and eliminate all newborn male children. That way, there would be no question that the infant supplanter would not succeed in taking over his throne. After meeting with Herod, the wise man, who met with the infant with joy and gifts, dreamed that they should not return to Herod as he had directed, but should go home by another way. They had been watching. They had been paying close attention, and they followed where they had been led, upholding the description of their being wise. Herod, on the other hand, is afraid, and he reacts out of fear and dreadful and horrible way. From the wise men, we have a sense of calm resolve, of those who are seeking something that will bring great joy and good news, those who are watching with anticipation for signs of change. From Herod, the sign that brings the wise men great joy is the very sign that causes him to react violently. Same event, same sign, two very different reactions. Herod sends his troops on a bloody, violent rampage to kill innocent infants. We wonder, how could anyone do such a thing? And yet, that mass killing of innocent children has happened within the last month. That sort of violence, the killing of the innocent, seems to be beyond retribution, beyond redemption. It is so fatal and final and even evil that it seems that there is nothing that can prevent it from taking hold, from having the upper hand. Our sense of order and rightness is so stretched out of its socket that we feel that everything is broken and has no hope of healing. Order can never be restored. That violent people and mean-spirited, hate-filled people will win. But then, we return to our story, to those paying attention, the wise men and Joseph. After the wise men have returned home by a safer route out of the reach of Herod, the newly formed family settles in, hoping that life will begin to be normal, whatever that means. The baby and his mother are resting, so Joseph himself lies down to sleep. And as soon as he has fallen into a deep, restful sleep, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him to get up and take his family to Egypt, because Herod is on the warpath and plans to destroy the child. Joseph apparently doesn't argue or try to dissuade the angel. He doesn't try to write this dream off as bad food or too much new wine before bed. He heeds the warnings and moves the family to a foreign land. A land with a long history for God's people. A land from which God's people were brought out of slavery and made free, made God's people. The child is now safe, away from the tyrant Herod, thanks to the attentiveness of his father Joseph, thanks to Joseph's faithfulness. Because of the actions of one otherwise fairly unremarkable man, the violence did not succeed. The evil and maliciousness of the one acting out of fear did not have the final say. The good was not overcome. The plan of God was not stopped. The change that came into the world that brought such great joy to the angels, the shepherds, and the wise men could not be stopped by those who reacted in fear with violence. We do well to remember that today. Fear and violence does not win. Love always has the final say. It is quite unfortunate that we sometimes lean to the belief that the story of God's involvement in the world, that God's involvement with his creation and his people stopped when the last word of the revelation to John at Patmos was included in the canon of Scripture. It is quite unfortunate when we forget that God's Spirit is still stirring, still moving in the world, still calling out for those who would pay attention and follow the leading of that Spirit, even if that means going to a foreign land, figuratively or literally. It is quite unfortunate when God's people forget that fear that leads to violence does not win. Darkness will not overcome light, and hate will never overcome love. Today we have the story of those who acted on the urging voice of God and those who acted out of self-protecting fear. We have the beginning of the story of the life of the child who would grow up and continually evoke from some joy and gratitude, praise and wonderment, and from others fearfulness, anger, and hatred. The child grew up and was ultimately killed by those who reacted violently out of fear. But even that did not stop the plan of God. Even though death did not thwart the love of God. Hate and fearfulness does not succeed. Violence and mean-spirited tyranny does not win. Love will always overcome. The story continues. Amen.